All right, let's look in Romans chapter number 12 again this afternoon, and you pray for me as I try to share this thought with you, help you tonight. Romans chapter number 12, very familiar passage of Scripture, but a lot of truth in this Scripture, a lot of helps in this Scripture for those that are believers. Amen. We know that he's writing in chapter number 12. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's writing to the brethren, because he starts off in verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We've talked about this already. God's not asked us to do anything unreasonable. Amen. The therefore in chapter number 12 and verse number 1 is there because of what chapter 1 through 10 has taught us. Amen. Through salvation, through the grace of God, through the goodness of God, that Christ's righteousness has been imputed unto us. We are forgiven of our sins, and all that God has done, the grace of God, the gifts of God, all of that leads up to chapter number 12. Therefore, because of all these things, God is beseeching us or requesting of us that it's just a reasonable thing, after all this that God's given us, that we live our life acceptable unto Him. Amen. That's not an unreasonable request. Amen. And he says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I mentioned before, and I'll mention again tonight, that is a daily challenge. It is a daily challenge to renew your mind every single day. Because the devil, the world, the flesh is always putting something before your mind, trying to destroy your mind, distract your mind, and you have to renew your mind every single day of your life. Amen? You get up in the morning, you meet with God. Amen? Best way to start your day is to meet with God. The best way to end your day is to meet with God. Amen? And that'll help your mind right there. Amen? But get in the Bible, amen, and renew your mind, and read the verses of Scripture that God has put before us and given us to help us, amen, to renew that mind. How do I get my mind in a renewed state? I focus on the Word of God. Amen. I read in there all the promises that God's given me. I read in there where He has never failed me, never will fail me. Amen. He's not going to leave me. Amen. That'll renew your mind. That'll help you. I read in there where His promises are coming again. Amen. That'll help you. That'll renew your mind. I know that today may be the day that Jesus Christ comes. That will renew your mind. Amen. Things look dark and dismal and discouraging. I know that the way we're looking at the news and things like that in this day, it looks like it's so depressing and dark and all those things. But you open up the Word of God and it will renew your mind, amen, to know that we're not left in this world, we're not appointed unto wrath, but Jesus Christ is coming soon, amen. That's a renewing of the mind. I don't know about you, but I need that every single day of my life. I need to be reminded that I'm not left here alone, that Jesus is coming, amen, and that'll help us if we'll just do that and renew our mind and be not conformed to this world. Don't be thinking like they think. Don't do like they do. Don't be conform to them, because we're not of them, we're of another world. Amen. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as we look at verse number 2, we find here that if we focus on the will of God and the Word of God, we'll be able to prove what is the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, I dealt with a little bit on this subject the other Sunday. I dealt with being acceptable. Is our works, is the things that we do since we have been saved, is it acceptable unto God? The things that I do throughout the day, is that acceptable unto God? The things that I say, the places I go, the things... Listen, that I participate in, is that acceptable unto God? We can know if it is or not according to the Word of God. So all the answers to life's questions are in the Word of God. Amen. But we can prove that that's a good thing. Amen. We can prove that that's acceptable unto God. Now we know without a shadow of a doubt it is acceptable unto God that we read our Bible. Amen. We know that's acceptable. We know that it's acceptable and it is good for us to pray. We know that. We don't have to wonder about that. We know that. Amen. We know that it is acceptable and it is the good and the perfect will of God that we share our testimony with those around us. Amen. We know that because the Scripture tells us so. Amen. And so we can prove these things through the Word of God. But then we get a little deeper in this and we go to verse number 3. And the Bible says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, in verse number 3, we talked about this the other Sunday night, I believe it was, of not being puffed up with pride. Amen? And we talked about that, but some people say that they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. They believe there's a God in heaven, and they would never do such and such a thing. My Bible tells me, my friend, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Amen? You're just as easy to commit an adultery. You're just as easy to commit a sin as anybody else. Amen? It's only by the grace of God, amen, that we don't do such things and keep our mind renewed. If you let your mind get focused on the wickedness of the world, the ungodliness of the world, you'll find yourself committing those very acts that you thought you'd never do. We have a scripture that backs that up, that Peter said he'd never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But we find there's three times he denied him, amen. And the problem with Peter was that he had followed far off. That means he wasn't as close to God as he ought to be. He wasn't close up there snuggling up with him. He wasn't patting him on the back side of his bosom like he ought to be. Amen. And listen, that teaches us and proves to us and tells us that the closer we get to God, the less likely we are to fall prey to the snares of the devil. Amen. And to make these mistakes and fall into sin. Now, don't think of any man, of every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, I tried to deal with this a little bit the other night and dealing with those in ministry. And I don't want to beat up a lot of preachers and pastors, but listen, there's some that think that you're to bow down to them. You won't find that in the Word of God. Amen. We're not to bow to man. We're to reverence God. I have a problem. Listen, please don't ever call me reverend. I really struggle with that. I won't fuss at you if you do, but just don't reverend my name. I'm your pastor. You respect me, amen. As pastor, that's what you do as love for your pastor, but you don't reverence my name, amen. You reverence His name. He's the one gets the glory, amen. He's the one we lift His name up. His name is above all names, amen. And so we don't reverence the pastor, and we don't bow down to the pastor. We don't worship them. Some men are thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. I'm just going to leave that alone. Leave that right there. Let's think on that for a little bit. I know some. Amen. I know some. But then we find also, not only do we find men of God and pastors in that position, but then we find those lay people, if you would, the Christians that's in the pews, that think more highly of themselves than what they ought to think. And they think that they would never commit such an act. They would never do such a thing. But my friend, the Bible tells us not to think that way, to think soberly. You're made out of the flesh and bone like everybody else. Amen. If you don't keep your mind clean, if you don't keep your mind pure, you'll end up falling prey to the devil's temptations, and you'll make those same mistakes, and you'll commit those acts of sin. But then on a second note of that, we have those that think that they're worthless and they're useless in the work of the ministry. We find those that think very, very little of themselves. But then the Bible says something about that crowd too. There's some people think they can't do nothing in the house of God because they're not worth anything. Well, I can't sing and I can't preach. Well, not everybody can preach. Not everybody can sing. Everybody say amen right there. Not everybody can sing. Amen. Listen, I know some that couldn't carry a tune in the bucket. They couldn't carry a tune in a 250-gallon tank if they had one. Amen. They just can't do it. They don't have it. They don't have rhythm. They just don't have the tune. They can't sing. But then they think of themselves as being useless in the house of God or in the ministry because they don't have any talents. Everybody's got talent. Amen. Everybody's got something that you can do for the Lord. How do I know what that is? Well, the Bible says in the renewing of our mind, amen, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do I do that? How do I figure out what is the will of God for my life in the ministry? Well, I'm glad you asked me because I want to share it with you. For as verse number 4 of the Bible says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Amen. That means my hand doesn't do what my foot does. My foot don't do what my ears do. My eyes don't do what my nose does. Amen. They're all members of the same body, but they all don't do the same job. Amen. And so everybody's not the pastor. Everybody don't preach. Everybody don't teach. Everybody don't deacon. Amen. Everybody don't usher. We're all members of one body, but everybody has a different job to do. Amen. God created these eyes to see, and that's their job. That's what they do. Amen. God created you to do something in the ministry. You have to figure out what that is. Amen. And everybody's got talent. Everybody can do something for the Lord. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. That gives you a little clue right there what everybody can do. We're all of the same body of Christ, and we're all one members one of another. Amen? And so one of the things we can do is love one another. Amen? That's something you can do in the house of God. Amen. That's what you can do to be a part of the ministry. You can love somebody. Amen. Love your brothers and sisters in the Lord and be an encouragement to them and lift them up. Amen. Not all of the same office. Amen. Every one members of another. Then verse 6 says, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, on exhortation, or he that exhorteth, verse number 8, on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that soweth with mercy and with cheerfulness. Then the Bible says in verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation, for that which is evil cleave to that which is good. So there's a lot of things listed in this passage of Scripture that we can do. Everybody don't have the same office, but everybody's got an office. Amen. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got something that you can do. Now, the thing we have to understand is that God don't want us to think any highly of ourselves than what we ought to think, and He don't want us to think any less of ourselves than what we ought to think. Amen. You can do because God empowers you to do, and everybody has a talent. So you got to ask yourself, and you take this to the Lord, and you get on your knees in prayer, and you ask God, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that I can do to be a blessing to those at the house of God? Everybody's got a part in the ministry. Well, let me say this tonight, everybody can pray. Amen. Everybody can pray. The Bible here speaks of those in prophecy. There's two types of prophecy. It's foretelling and foretelling. But anyway, I want to get into all that, and I don't have time to get into all that. But the foretelling of the prophecy, let me get down here to my... If someone claims to have prophecy for me, I can't be sure if it's true, but I can be certain of the Bible. So we know that prophecy was in the Scriptures that God gave to the prophets. He gave them visions and dreams to prove the authenticity of the Lord and that God was real. But you don't have prophecy and foretelling in these days. Amen? Palm readers and all that kind of crazy mess. You don't have card readers. We don't have that. But what we do have is the Word of God. Amen? How do I know what my future holds? How do I know what's in the future for me? I go to my Bible. I don't go to some shrink. I don't go to some or a card reader or some tarot card reader or whatever you want to call those people. I don't even know what you call them. Anyway, those psychics, you don't go to them. You just go to your Bible. Amen? And the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming soon. Amen? I'm a believer tonight. I've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And my Bible tells me that my future holds coming Savior. Amen? That's a renewing of your mind, and that's the good and perfect will of God that'll charge your batteries. Amen? And you know what's coming in the future. Amen? And so we don't need that foretelling from prophecy, but he's dealing with prophecy here, and he's talking about the prophecy, those according to the proportion of faith. That's dealing with the Old Testament. Then he comes on to the ministry, verse number 7. And he says, let us wait on ministering. And when we're dealing with ministry, it means to be a servant. As I mentioned on Wednesday night, it means to be a servant to others. And a minister, that word minister means to be a help, to be a servant, amen, to someone else. And to be in the ministry, that simply means that you are a servant to someone else. There's many can be a servant to the pastor. There's many that can be a servant to the church itself, to the congregation. Amen. How do we be a servant? Well, Miss Teresa, I used her Wednesday night, but she cleans the church. Amen. That's a servant's work, to clean the toilets, to take out the trash. Amen. That's being a servant. But that's a ministry. Amen. And listen, there's many other things within the church house that's a ministry, not just cleaning and the cleaning the toilets and things like that, but picking up the trash. You see something on the floor. Don't walk by it and just leave it there, amen, and make them do all the work. Pick it up and help them out, amen. Listen, that's the way that works. We're all in this thing together. But so when we're dealing with ministry, so to be a servant, everybody can be in the ministry by being a servant to someone else. Amen. 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 Everybody's in the ministry. You're a part of it. Amen. If you pray for your pastor, if you pray for the members on the prayer list, you pray for the sick, you're part of the ministry. Amen. Being a servant, being a prayer warrior, that's part of the ministry. Some people can't, as I said, they can't preach, they can't teach. Some people, you know, they don't have the ability to clean or don't have the desire to clean. That's not their forte. They can't do that. They miss spots and they leave stuff and they just don't have that forte to clean like they should. So we don't want them doing that. Amen. But they may have a forte in being on their knees before God and getting hold of the throne of grace. Amen. That's where we need them. Amen. Need them on the altar. Need them praying for us and working for each and every one of us. That's ministry. Just because you're not in the limelight doesn't mean that you can't be a part of the ministry. Matthew's got a ministry. He's up here with his little camera. He's a video. And you'll tell you, that's ministry. Amen. Yeah. Everybody can't sit there and do that. Everybody don't know how to push them buttons like he does. Amen. Yeah. Listen. Well, that's good preaching right there. Amen. Listen, y'all look at Matthew. Amen. He's got some disabilities. Now, everybody knows, I'm not trying to pick on him, but he's got some disabilities. But I know people in good health tonight that wouldn't dare darken the door of the church, amen, to try to do anything for anybody when they could, amen, for the glory of God. Then we have some that can't walk and have troubles getting around and things like that. They can be a blessing and be a part of the ministry. That's a blessing, amen, when they do things like that. And I appreciate him doing that. I really do. There's all kinds of different things. Let me move on. There's teaching as a part of the ministry. And this is a gift, of course, and it's explaining and expounding the scripture, training the saints in the will of God. Not everybody can teach, but there's some good teachers. Amen. Brother Ted this morning is a tremendous teacher. I could sit and listen to him all day long. Amen. He doesn't fracture the English language as bad as I do. I can listen to him. He's a good teacher. He's a good preacher. He helps me whenever he preaches and he expounds on the scriptures and he helps me, man. And there's some people like that. There's a distinction between prophesying and teaching, but not everybody can teach and not everybody's a preacher. Amen. Teachers are not all rulers. Some people think that the teaching and preaching is left up to the preacher and he's the only one can do it. That's not Bible. Bible doesn't teach that. There's people that my wife's a teacher. She's a school teacher. She teaches math. Or could that be a part of the ministry? Absolutely. Those young people need to know how to add. Especially when it comes to passing the plate. Amen. They need to know how to add. No, that belongs to God. That don't belong to you. Amen or oh me. She's a teacher though. And we think about that in ministry though. How could that be applied to ministry? Where she can help others that's having problems counting. She can help the kids, amen. She can teach the children. There's a whole book of Numbers. Don't tell me God's not interested in Numbers because there's a whole book in the Bible on Numbers, amen. That can be part of ministry. And you talk about Numbers, God has put all kinds of numbers in the Bible. I won't have time tonight to get into it, but numbers are significant to God. Amen. There's a teaching lesson in every number that you come across. There's a teaching lesson. But listen, we have many that are teachers and some can teach and some can't teach. Now listen, a woman, for example, can teach, amen, Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. And she can teach the women and she can teach the children, but she's not to be a ruler. She's not to be a pastor or elder of the church. Because that's not Bible, amen? Although she can teach, that doesn't qualify her to do what God has laid in Scripture as an elder or a bishop. Amen. Have a good time already, ain't we? Many men are capable of teaching in various capacities, such as Sunday school or jails or nursing homes, but they're not gifted to be an elder. They're not gifted to be a bishop. There's some men in the pulpits today that are there because they can teach and they can talk, but they don't have the gift to pastor. It's got to be a calling. Amen. So we have to find out, what is that calling on my life? What is it that God can use me to do, amen, in the ministry? I know some men right now that's in the ministry. They're behind the pulpit and they're struggling, trying to keep things going. The reason why is they're very good teachers. I mean, they make a great Bible scholar, teacher. They make it great in Bible institutes and things like that because they are a great teacher. They just don't have the ability to pastor. It takes something special to be a pastor. Amen. It takes something special to be a pastor. We'll get to that in just a minute. Let me move on real quick. I got to hurry before my time runs out. We find here in this passage of Scripture that several things it's mentioned. It's talking about the gifts that differ, the prophesying, ministry. It talks about teaching, verse number 7, and also he that exhorteth on exhortation. And so we think about that exhortation. It means to call alongside. To exhort means to encourage or to console or to urge people to fulfill their duties. How about that? The exhorter comes alongside of those who have needs and those who are going through trials and those who are going astray or those who are discouraged and those who are in danger of quitting and dropping out of the race or those who are being enticed by the world or maybe those who are being deceived by the devil. The exhorter comes alongside of them and encourages them and challenges them and strengthens them to continue in the will of God. That's what an exhorter is. Guess how many of us tonight can be in the ministry as an exhorter? Many of us, amen? Many of us, when we see someone that's being deceived by the devil, when we see them going astray, they're getting off the right track and we know they're making the wrong decisions. And listen, we can come along beside them and say, listen, have you prayed about what you're doing? It's just that simple, amen? Have you prayed about what you're doing? We have folks that's coming that's interested in being a part of our church, and they come to me and say, "Preacher, we'd like to join the church." The first thing I ask them, "Have you prayed about that? Amen. Have you took that up with God? Have you talked to Him about this? Is this where God wants you?" Amen. Sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they say, "No, I haven't prayed about it." I said, "Well, you take that up with God, and then you come back and talk to me." Amen. And if God wants them here, we want them here. Amen. But we want to make sure that's of God. Amen. And so we have to understand that there's times whenever we just have to encourage people to pray and make sure that they're not making the decisions they're making because they're following the world or being conformed by the world or being drawn away and enticed by the devil because he's real good at his job. Amen. It causes people to make foolish mistakes. So an exhorter gets along beside them. They see them making mistakes. They know they're fixing a mess. Now listen, a lot of people say, "I don't want to get involved. I don't want nobody to think I'm butting in their business." Well, I've got some good news for you tonight. According to the authority of the Word of God, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got every right to butt in somebody's business when they're getting out of the will of God. Amen? If the devil has got his clutches in them and he's drawing them away from the will of God and getting them out of the house of God and he's pulling them away from the will of God and the Word of God and getting them away from the things of God and the people of God, you've got every right to butt in and encourage them not to go down that path. Amen. Just a few weeks ago, I had a young man in my life I'm not going to say who he is, but he's a young man in my life. That's all you need to know. He's going down the wrong path. And I sent him a message. I said, "Where you at?" And he responded to me and told me where he was. And I said, "What in the world are you doing there?" And he began to tell me some things that was going on and why he was there. And I began to tell him, I said, "You're going down the wrong path." And he texted me back and says, "What does that even mean?" He kind of got a little hateful. Texting to be a little hateful. And I just got right back at him. I said, "You know you're going to ruin your life. You're going to ruin your family. You're going to ruin your children. The decisions you're making is foolish. The devil's deceiving you, discouraging you, distracting you, and you're fixing to wreck and ruin your life." The next day, I found out he was so drunk, he didn't even know what he read or what he said. How do I know that? I didn't know that. Amen. And I continued to try to encourage him. "Hey, what are you doing?" "I'm at work." "Good, you need to be at work." Listen, we got to have a right, amen, to butt in. And tell them, "Listen, you're going down the wrong path. You're making bad decisions." And they may not like that, but they need that. Amen? They need godly people that are spiritual. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, "Ye which are spiritual, amen, restore such a one." And listen, we need to get a hold of them and to help them before they ever fall and become a casualty. Amen? Scripture talks about in the book of Judah pulling some out of the fire. We use that and preach that as saving them from hell. Listen, they can fall. They can ruin their life. A lot of times we sit idly by and watch it happen. We have a ministry. Ask God, will He allow you to be an exhorter? Lord, help me to see someone that's making mistakes. And not to be, listen, not to be judgmental and hold your nose up high in the air and I'm better than that. Not to think more highly than you ought to think. Amen. That's what the Bible says. But I see that and I can help them. Some of us has been through stuff. Amen. I've been through some things. In my life, in 51 years, I've been through some things. And I can sit down beside of some of them that's struggling with alcohol and I can talk to them because I've been through those things. I can sit down beside the teenagers and talk about what it means to have a stepdad. I can sit down and talk with them though because the kids get discouraged and whenever divorce comes about, the kids think it's their fault and they get to looking at the world and the attractions of the world and the lies of the world and they find themselves going down the wrong track. The wrong path. I can help them with that. Many of us has been through things. Amen. And we can help somebody. We can encourage somebody. Boy, I've got to move on. The devil likes to encourage and challenge people, amen, to do the wrong thing. And it's up to us to help them, to encourage them. The Greek word is also for encourager or exhorter is translated as entreat or desire or pray or comfort or call for. Amen. An example of exhortation, see Acts chapter number 11, verse 2 through 24. All right. So there's a ministry there in exhortation, in exhorting, lifting one up, calling, coming alongside, encouraging. Then we have the ministry of giving. Oh my, there's that preacher preaching on giving. Just hang in there. It won't hurt. Amen. This is the act of giving both to the Lord's work generally through the church, as well as giving individually to those who have needs. Amen. We give and God blesses. God blesses and we give. Did you know God doesn't give it to you to keep? God gives through you what He won't give to you. Write that down somewhere. That'll help you. God gives through you what He won't give to you. That'll help you. Amen. God allows us to have things and He blesses us financially so we can be a blessing to someone else. I love it when missionaries come. Amen. I love it. Why is that? Because I know that I have an opportunity to be a blessing. And I know whenever I'm a blessing to someone else, God will be a blessing in return to me. Amen. How does He do that? Well, He gives me good health. He gives me a good job. Amen. I can go to work. I can still work. He gives me a good job. I can continue to pay my bills. That's a blessing. Hey, paying your bills is a blessing. Say amen right there. Amen. God blesses us and He gives to us so we can give to others. And it's not so much as always through the church, but listen, there's somebody along the side. How many times do you go into the... Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things that irks me just a little bit, I'm just going to share this with you. You don't have to like it if you don't want to, but this irks me really, really, really bad to go sit down at a group of people that call themselves Christians. And I've watched some men sit on the other, and ladies too, sit on the other side of the table. And they wear that waitress out. Can you bring me this? Can you bring me that? Hey, I need this. You didn't do this. Hey, can you bring me that? That just drives me crazy. Whenever it comes time to leave a tip and they leave them a dollar. I mean, that just runs a nerve up one side and down the other, amen? And you call yourself a Christian and you just run that poor lady's legs off and give her a dollar. Somebody ought to kick you in your, what you're sitting on, amen? That's not being very Christian-like. We're to be a blessing. We're to be an encouragement. There's been many times, listen, I'm not bragging on myself. There's been many times I've been to the restaurant and I could tell by the waitress, by what she wore, by how she looked, she didn't have a whole lot. She'd work herself to death, try to wait on as many tables as she could, just trying to make a dollar, just trying to make a living, amen? And I'd slip her a little something extra. She'd look at me and say, thank you, sir. You don't never know what that'll do to somebody, amen? God gives to us so we can give to others. Now, I pray they don't take that out and smoke it up in dope and drugs and all that kind of stuff. I really pray they don't do that. But I don't have no control over that. God told me to be a blessing. Amen. Now, I got to be obedient unto the Lord and God blesses me in return. Amen. So our giving, it's given not just to the church, but given to those around us. Now, I'm not all about these that's standing out holding up the signs and begging for food. I'm not about that. Most of them people make more money than I do. Amen. Now, there may be some that's legit. I was at a Wendy's one time out east. I was traveling at a Wendy's, and there was a veteran sitting out there. He had his veteran hat on. I don't remember what it said, VA vet or World War II vet or something. He's a very elderly gentleman. It was cold outside. He's a black gentleman. It was cold outside, and he had this army coat on, and it had all kinds of badges and stickers and stuff on it and pins and all that. And he's sitting on the curb of a Wendy's. And people was passing him by, wouldn't nobody say nothing to him. And I thought, I don't know if this guy's a regular or not, but God began to pierce my heart. I try to mind the Lord, amen, in times like that. There's times when the Lord said, keep a walking, son. Amen. This time God was just breaking my heart for this gentleman. I walked right up beside him and I said, sir, how you doing? He said, I'm doing fine, sir. I said, you want something to eat? He said, sir, that'd be nice. He said, you don't have to. I said, could I get you something? What do you like? He said, well, just one of them little dollar cheeseburgers would be fine. I said, do you like French fries? Yes, sir, I like French fries. I said, would you eat two hamburgers if you had them? Well, I probably could. So I go in there and get him the triple, baconator, large, everything. I take it back out. I almost took a wheelbarrow to get it out there to him. I took all that out there to him. And he said, oh, sir, you didn't have to do all that. I said, I know I didn't. I just want to be a blessing. He said, sir, you just don't realize how much of a blessing. He said, I haven't eaten in a couple of days. That's a blessing, amen? God blessed me to bless him. I may never see him again. But then again, over on the other side, he may come up to me and say, hey, remember that hamburger you bought? Whoop. You never know, amen? Giving to the church, giving through the church, that's one thing, but then giving outside the church, because we're to be the light of the world. We're to be the salt of the earth. And we're to be encouraging others. Why would you do that for somebody? Because of the love of Christ. That love of Christ is supposed to be on the inside of us. Amen? We're supposed to have compassion upon the lost, upon other souls. That's ministry. Hallelujah. Moving on. Giving is to be done with simplicity, which refers to singleness, sincerity, without dissimulation or self-seeking. It's to be done with generosity. Amen? We're to give because we can. And we're not to give stingy-like and grudgingly. We're to give bountifully. Amen? If you sow bountifully, the Bible says, you'll reap bountifully. Amen? That's ministry. How can I be a part of the ministry? You got the ability to give, then give. That's a blessing. Preacher, I live on a fixed income. God knows that. But there's some that don't live on a fixed income. Amen. They've got the gift. They've got the ability. That's what this is all about. Some have the abilities to give, and that's how they're part of the ministry. That's how they can be a part, by giving what they can give. Amen. There's those that can teach. That's how they partake in the ministry, by teaching. There's those that can exhort. That's how they participate in the ministry, how they become part of the ministry, by exhorting. Don't think of yourself highly than what you ought to think, but don't think yourself less than what you ought to think. Everybody can take part in the ministry. Amen. It's good preaching if I am doing. When we look at this passage description, it talks about those that ruleth, let him rule well. Amen. He that ruleth with diligence. This refers to the office of pastor or elders who rule over the church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7 and verse number 17. Ruling is to be done with diligence. The pastor should be single-minded about his calling and should give himself to it. Amen. There's many that they're half-hearted in what they do. They're lazy in what they're doing. You're to care for the flock. You're to care for the sheep. Amen. Have compassion. Pray. Seek the Lord's will. Seek God's face for the message. Amen. And be an encourager behind the pulpit. Some of them are half-hearted. I know a gentleman one time. I don't know if he's still pastor or not. I don't keep up with him. But I heard he got every message off the internet. That's back whenever the internet was first come out. Everything he got. So that preacher, every message he gets off the internet and just reads it to his congregation. You know how dead that's got to be? Pretty dead. The Bible doesn't teach that. Amen. The Bible says we're to do it with diligence. He that ruleth with diligence. We don't rule with an iron fist. We do it with compassion and with diligence. Amen. He that showeth mercy, verse number 8, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. This refers to a particular gift of exercising kindness and exercising mercy toward those in need. Something that goes beyond helping them financially. It is evidence in the person who has the special tenderness and loving kindness and those that can encourage those who are in sin. Showing mercy. Showing kindness. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised how much you can help people in the ministry and being a minister of showing mercy and showing kindness. Amen. Being kindly affectionate one to another, ain't that what the Bible teaches us? We're to show kindness. Verse number 10 says, being kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Show kindness. Showing mercy. That's part of the ministry. What's my ministry? Can you show kindness to someone? What's my ministry? Can you give? Not just in church, but outside of church. You have the privilege to do that. God blessed you financially to where you can give. That's part of your ministry. How do I know what those things are? How do I know what God wants me to do? You pray and ask God. And you take this verse of Scripture and you ask God, so there's gifts that's different according to the grace that's given to us. Verse number 6. And it begins to list some things there. Can I be a part of the ministry? Absolutely. Can I do anything for the Lord? Absolutely. What can I do? Jump right in. Amen. Ask God what He'd have you to do. Show a little kindness. You'd be surprised how far that goes. Kindness goes a long way. I like kindness. Amen. I like it when people are kind. I like it when people smile. I like it when people say good things. Amen. Exhorting someone. Can you exhort someone? Can you encourage someone? That's not just walking up to somebody that you know is doing well and just, hey, I'm so glad to see you today. I mean, that's good. That's kind. I'm talking about someone that you know is in a mess. Their life's in a shambles. And they're making all the wrong decisions. I don't want to get involved. Well, you take that up with God. And if God tells you to go over there and that's your ministry, then you get over and you obey God. Amen? And exhort them. Lift them up. Now, if you can't do that, don't go over and do that. Because you'll make a mess and they'll be able to slap you across a pew. You got to be careful what you say to people. Amen? But ask God, what can I do in the ministry? Here at Midway Baptist Church, everybody can be a part of the ministry. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Amen? Don't think you're the only one that can exhort. Don't think you're the only one that can teach and the only one that can sing. And as I said to all those things the other night, don't think that you're the only one that can do that because you're not. I'm not the only pastor. I'm not the only preacher. I promise you, I'm not the best preacher. I'm not the greatest preacher, and I know that. I fractured English language. Amen? Sometimes I do good to tell my own name. I felt like I was all teeth this morning trying to talk. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. I don't even know what I said. It didn't even make good sense to me. but listen, I'm not the greatest at what I do, but I know God's put me in this position. This is what God's given me to do. And I spend time. So I get up every morning at 5:30 and go to work. And on Saturdays, you know what I do? I get up at 5:30. Why you get up at 5:30 on Saturday? You ain't got to work. I've got a ministry. I get up on Sunday mornings at 5:30. Sometimes I get up at 5 o'clock. Depends on what the Lord puts on my heart. And sometimes I get up early and I find myself in a secret place. You know what? I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you, I've got a ministry. God's given me something to do. And I've got to give it everything I've got. Amen? Because God's given me this opportunity. Do it with diligence, is what He said. Be kindly affectionate one to another, brotherly love and honor preferred one another. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. Amen? Fervent. Be fiery. Amen? Be excited about what you're doing. I get to take part in something at the church. Hallelujah. I get to sing in the choir. Amen. Choir singing. That's a ministry. Amen. We've talked about it. The choir's had a meeting. We've talked about singing in the choir. That's a ministry. We get to worship in song. Amen. And we get to lead others in worshiping in song. That's all the ministry. We do it with fervency unto the Lord. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. The Scripture goes on to say there in Romans chapter 12, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I'm not going to preach all this because it's pretty self-explanatory. Bless them who persecute you, bless and curse not. Amen. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Someone comes in here rejoicing, God's answered their prayer, God's being good to them, jump right in there and rejoice with them. Amen. I like it when they rejoice. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and I like to join in when they say so. Amen. Amen. Just get involved with it and rejoice with them because that's what the Bible says. But when they come in here and they're broken and they're hurt and they're weeping, get right in there with them and weep with them. Amen. And as, listen, you don't have to know everything about what's going on in their life, but you can ask them real simply, is there anything I can help you pray about? Can I join you in prayer? Can I pray for you? Amen. Get in there and weep with them. And then whenever God delivers and God answers that prayer, whatever it is, we rejoice together. Amen. That's what it's about. This ministry, be of the same mind, one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Don't try to get even when somebody gets you. Don't try to get even when somebody gets you. Listen, I know everybody in here has been got. Amen. That southern redneck talk for somebody done me wrong. I've been got. Well, y'all ain't never been got before? Come on. Everybody's been got before. You know, somebody's ripped us off or somebody's done something to us. I mean, they've got us. I'll get them back. You just wait. I'll get my day. The Bible says you better not be like that. God says vengeance is mine. I'm watching them. I know what they did to you. I've seen what they did to you. I've been hurt in ministry. Now get real personal for just a moment. I've been hurt in ministry. I've been hurt so bad in ministry, I was ready to quit and throw in the towel. My wife will testify and tell you. My girls will tell you the same thing. If that's what it's all about, I'm done. That's how bad we've been hurt by so-called Christians. Been hurt that bad. Now, I could have said, I'll get them. I know where they live. I'll take care of it myself. I could have had that attitude. But God told me, He said, son, vengeance is mine. I'll repay them. Right. Have at it, Daddy. Hey, man, have at it, Daddy. Go get them. I'll just take my hands off of it, leave it alone. Daddy, take care of it. Yeah. Amen. Daddy take care of it. That word Abba, by the way, in the scriptures, Abba Father, that's the same word Daddy. That's a close personal relationship. So I took my hands off of it. Daddy took care of it. And those that hurt me in ministry, most of them not in ministry anymore. Some of them's even in jail. You know what that means? Daddy took care of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Somebody hurts you, don't you go after him. Amen. I got to move on. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Just because they did us wrong don't mean we got to do them wrong. Amen. Now, when it comes to protecting your family, stuff like that, somebody comes in and slaps your wife, you better knock his teeth out. Amen. If you don't call me, I'll come do it for you. Amen. When it comes to protecting our family, now we're not brawlers, we're not looking for a fight, but we are to protect our families. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, recompensing evil for evil. If somebody comes into your home, they're breaking the law, coming into your castle, trying to hurt you and your family by every rule and right. You stand up against that, amen? God's for that. Fight for our children and fight for our daughters and sons. Nehemiah, we'll find the scripture there where they fight for our families, amen? That's Bible. But whenever someone hurts you, and I'm not talking about hurting physically, but I'm talking about hurting you spiritually. Hurts you down in the bottom side of your soul. Just breaks you emotionally. I want to get them back. Can't believe they treated me that way. A lot of people's been hurt like that. Turn it over to the Lord. Listen, that's another message. God's just helping me right there. I feel like I need to just park there for a minute. Listen, that's something that can ruin and wreck your life. I know people that their whole entire life, they've focused on what happened in the past. You know what the thing about the past is? It's in the past. There ain't a thing you can do about it. It's in the past. Only God can straighten that mess out. And God will straighten that mess out. But many people, they're a prisoner to their past. And they're not a part of the ministry because they're so wrapped up in what happened in the past because they got hurt. And they don't want to do anything else because they're afraid they'll get hurt again. Well, guess what? Get used to it. It's just like riding a bicycle. If you fall off the first time and don't never get on it because you're afraid you're going to fall off again, you'll never learn to ride it. Amen. Get right back up on that bicycle and go again. And when you fall off, get up and go again. When somebody hurts you, don't quit. Don't stop. Just get up and go again. Amen. Let God take care of it. Turn it over to Him. Let Him take care of it. God will handle it. Nothing's taking him by surprise. He'll do a whole lot more to him than you and I can. Amen? Don't focus on those things. Move on past that and get into ministry. Ask God what he has for you to do. Amen? Because there's work for everybody to do, and some of you ain't doing your job. Amen. Prove things honest in the sight of all men. Amen. Verse 17. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Here it is. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. There's been many young people that's been hurt by families, mamas and daddies. Been hurt, their lives have been ruined because of what mom and daddy did. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. Watch what the Bible says. Leave it to him. Now, remember the word therefore? We always look back and see why the word therefore is therefore. Why is that therefore in that verse of Scripture? Because of what he just said. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't you recompense evil for evil. Don't you get even. Don't you try to avenge yourself. You let me take care of that. Therefore, in doing so, watch what he says. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be good to him. Give him a drink of water. Give him something to eat. Because God's going to deal with that heart. Amen. Everybody's got something to do in the ministry. I hope this is a help and encouragement to you tonight. Just trying to help you. Romans chapter number 12. God has told us to search out what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And we do those things because it's our reasonable service, not to be conformed to this world, but the renewing of our mind. Amen. That our mind be renewed day by day. So we know what is good and accept the perfect will of God. And not to think more of ourselves than what we ought to think, because we all can fail. Amen? We all can fail. But not to think less of ourselves than what we ought to think. Get busy. So God, what is it you'd have me to do? God, where can I minister as a servant in the house of the Lord? What is it that I can do? Amen? God is looking for those living sacrifices. You know what that word living sacrifices mean? That means that you sacrifice your time for God's time. Do something for the Lord. You sacrifice some of the things that you want to do. You're a living sacrifice. I sacrifice my time to sit and talk to somebody and encourage them so they won't die and go to hell. I sacrifice my time to talk to someone and encourage them so they won't make a foolish decision. Exhort them. Lift them up. Amen. Sacrifice our time. That living sacrifice. We ain't dead, are we? All right. So we're living sacrifices. We got things to do. Amen. Ask God what he have you to do. Where can he use you in the ministry? We know, every one of us know that God wants us to pray. God wants us to read our Bibles. God wants us to study and know the Word of God to gain wisdom, to gain understanding, to gain knowledge. That's all written in Scripture. We all know that. But what is my specific ministry? I'm a member of the body. God's got something for me to do. What is it? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Again, let me say this. I want to reiterate this. There's some people doing things that they don't have the gift to be doing. There's people in ministry that are trying to do things, trying to force the door open, if you would, to do things that God's never called them to do. There's never been a woman called to preach. Amen. And they're trying to knock the door down and trying to do that ministry. God's never called them to do that. There's many people like that. If that thing that you're trying to do is not working, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. I know some preachers right now that are struggling, trying to force their way to make something work in a church, and it's not working. It's not working because that's not what God's called them to do. They just want to be in the limelight, just to have that name as pastor. It's not about limelight. And big news flash, we're all in the ministry. We're all in this thing together. We're all in the ministry. Amen? You don't have to be a pastor to be in the ministry. You don't have to be a missionary to be in the ministry. You can be an encourager. You can be a water bringer. Amen? What does the Scripture say about bringing a cold glass of water to somebody that's thirsty? Amen? I'm just throwing that out there. You know, if you want something to do, there's a water fountain in the back. And there's cups in the back. You bring the preacher a glass of water. That's ministry. Amen? That's ministry. I'm not telling you have to do that. I'm just saying that's an opportunity. Ask God what He'd have you to do. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege You've given us tonight.